Good morning. It's good to be here. What a privilege. Thank you for all of your prayers and provision for us in this trip. It's been a blessing beyond measure. Never dreamed that it would happen, but this way the Lord just put it together in our lives. It's interesting to think, you know, Dorothy couldn't make it because, well, she just doesn't do real well with planes these days. She was courageous to come along with a pilot all those years, but in these years it's difficult. But the planning up to then, if it hadn't been for Dorothy and for Tim laying it all out and trying to squeeze it all into 2 weeks, and I'm going to try and squeeze it into an hour here to the morning, it's just a miracle. And I thank them and thank you for your provision. Being at Mountain View is a blessing. I enjoy sitting under the teaching of the Word of God, the exposition of God's Word. It's not just giving a sermon, it's teaching us God's Word, and I thank the Lord for that. This morning, we're not going to be doing an expositional message. I thank the Lord for those, but this morning we're going to be delving into the Word of God, but we're going to bring it and apply it to our lives and how it works in my life and how it works in your life. Title of the message is Traveling Plans and Open Doors. Traveling Plans and Open Doors. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, toward the end, shares this with him. I will visit with you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you, even spend the winter, so that you may help me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I do not want to see you now just in passing. I hope to spend time with you, if the Lord permits. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost. Why? For a wide door and effectual work has opened for me, and there are many adversaries. Unusual letter. A letter that Paul is being straightforward. He is talking to these people that he knows and reprimanding them for being babes in Christ and not maturing, of only taking in the milk and never the word, never the meat of the word, and growing in the Lord. And as a result, there was extreme carnality. There was conflict of children back and forth. That's the way they were acting. And so he's bringing them to that place where they look, stand up, and serve the Lord, grow in him, get into the meat of the word of God. And that's what he was sharing with them. We have in this same book one of the clearest explanations and presentations of the gospel. Chapter 15, it clearly presents Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, he arose from the dead. Why? That we might have salvation. It's a clear presentation. Some of them may have needed just that. They'd heard it all, but not really owned it. And so he clearly presents that to them. Their carnality, dealing with it, step up. And he says, I want to be with you. I want to be with you now. But there's something even more urgent at this moment. God opened a door for me, a door of opportunity. So why would Bill and Dorothy Kettlewell go to Brazil? Why? Well, interesting story. I had yielded my life to the Lord as a 15-year-old, but leading up to that, God had a big impact on my life because we had a missionary home dedicated to missionaries on furlough. I was able to interact with missionaries from St. Lucia, from India, from Pakistan, and even Brazil. Got to know Charlie Hocking's son's name, Jack. We were buddies when they were home on furlough, played football together. And Charlie found out later on that I had yielded my life for missions, and he would inevitably come to me and say, Bill, are you going to Brazil with Baptist Admissions? And my response was very profound. I don't know. And that's the way it went on. But I sensed God leading me and directing me. And finally, heading off to Minnesota to go to Bible college at Pillsbury Baptist Bible College. And there I had really put girls in the back burner until I happened to see this blonde at Pillsbury and didn't have the courage to ask her her name and introduce myself. But I asked other people. And so I'd see her in the hall and I said, hi, Dorothy. And finally, the curiosity got to her. Almost ran into her around a corner one day, and she just stopped and says, well, my name is Dorothy. What is yours? So to this day, I blame her for introducing herself to me. But it took us, the Lord and I, a couple of years to convince her to be my wife. And I remember that summer, 1966, driving to Minnesota over the holiday 4th of July weekend and formally asking her to marry me and giving her that ring. She said yes, and we sat down and said, okay, where's God leading us? She grew up as a pastor's daughter. She grew up going with her dad, visiting many times, so always. And in their home, they housed missionaries that stayed with them all over the world. And she just sent the Lord tugging at her. But all she could think about were those snake skins and stories of tarantulas and other things and thatch roof homes. And she went to her dad finally and says, Dad, I think God's calling me, but I'm afraid. And so her dad said, well, Dorothy, just be sure of this. God will be with you wherever you go. And so she trusted her earthly father, who was trusting her heavenly father. And so we began to discuss and says, well, where's God leading us? And it seemed like every time we turned around, it was Brazil. First missionary from their church was a single gal that went to Brazil. Ended up marrying a Brazilian, Reg Santos. There's a third generation of those kids now serving the Lord as missionaries in Brazil. Praise God. Charlie Hocking, impacting me. Two young men from Recife, living in the hall across from me in the dorm. Going to Brazil, Bill? I don't know. And finally came to that place. Well, every time we turn around, it's Brazil. So thank you, Lord. And made that decision. Finally, in December 5th, 1972, we stepped onto Brazilian soil for the first time. Interesting reception, subtle, because a lot of the missionaries in Fortaleza were also teachers in our missionary school. And they were looking forward to Christmas vacation, you know. And all of a sudden, they've got this new missionary couple that are arriving with their 2.5-year-old daughter. And we got to take care of them, you know. And so one of them said, didn't you want to really spend some time with your family? Why did you come now before Christmas? Well, it's called the government. They gave us a visa that had to be answered, and we had to be in Brazilian soil within that first week in December. So thank you, Lord, for directing us where and where. But after language school, teaching in our Bible college, and sensing the Lord's direction and training others more than just in a Bible college, but going beyond there and moving into church planting. And where do we go to that first place? Searching out different places, we went and decided on this small congregation of 11 people in the city of Campos Salles. Went there, began that to work there with those people there. And there, Dona Antonia, she talked to us about a cousin she had in a neighboring city, just 60 miles away on bad dirt road, only 3 hours by car. And she's the only believer in this town of 5,000 people. We need to go see her. And she insisted. She kept telling me that. And finally, I says, okay. I wanted to start a couple of Sollies. You know, they didn't want to reach out. And so we loaded up the Jeep, and we took off 3 hours and met Dona Hamida. What a thrill to be able to hear her story, how she, on the other side of Brazil, meeting another missionary and being challenged with the gospel and accepting Christ and then coming back in that town of 5,000, the only believer. That evening, preached a message outside their house, right onto the street, under the street light. And at the end of the message, a couple accepted the Lord. I says, if anybody wants, so I presented the gospel, and they raised their hands and said, yes. So I talked to them. I said, wow, what a preacher, you know. Only to realize that this couple had been sitting under the ministry of another missionary and a Bible college student in another town for several years. And now they're back here in this town without the gospel, and they hear it. I was there for the harvest. Praise God. How God uses us individually. His time. Ayuwaba. Little did I know that at that time there was a young man, little boy, sitting down about five houses down, listening to us, to me, and taking note. No decision. Found out later, as I heard the story, it's our missionary in Baja, Batista. Praise God. The way he works in his time and lives of other people. Working in there was shortly after that trip to Campos Salis or to Ayuwaba. And I just, Lord, now I've got kids here. I've got to come back. And so tried making that trip. And it was that time that we took possession of our first plane. Opened up an airstrip and Ayuwaba, and was able to make that trip. Instead of 3 hours, it was 20 minutes. But I flew over a little town that the road ended there, Quixariu. Prayed about that town, asked about it, found out people from there, and talked to them, and found out this is a town that prided themselves in not having any Protestants in their town of 1,200 people. And then I heard about this couple that went from there to the southern part of Brazil in business and hitting hard times. They heard the gospel, accepted Christ as Savior. They wanted to come back and reach their own community. Praise God for that. But I'd heard about them. And then one night I'm at the gas station filling my tires with air, and the attendant comes over and says, hey, there's a lady over here that just gave me a gospel tract like you give me. So I went over and met her, and that was this lady. We talked, and we tried to work things out to be there together, this couple. And it didn't work out. We went home on furlough, came back, and who is sitting on our porch when we arrive back from furlough but a young man, a Bible college student, wanting a ride to São Domingos, to Quixariu. And so I unloaded the truck, the Jeep, put the family in the house, and we took off. And there met those first five, now seven believers in that town, because that couple had gone back and preached the gospel. And among them, some of you have heard Dorothy telling you about Dona Cota, 85 years old, persecuted by her family, and even saying, Dona Cota, when you die, we're going to throw your body into the woods, let the animals eat it. You can do with me whatever you want. I'm going to be with my Lord. Praise God. She marked our lives. God's timing. My plan was to start in Campos Salles. Guess where we built the first building? Quixariu. 1,200 people. Within 3 years, we had 65 baptized believers. So we had to build there. Went on. Next building was Ayuwaba. And seeing it grow and flourish, seeing the Lord bless. And then finally, Campos Salles, building there and seeing the Lord bless there. The way the Lord opens doors for us to go to wherever, even Mozambique. We had moved back from our last church plant to Juazeiro, getting settled, and we went to a missions conference at another one of our churches and met these missionaries from, they were planning on going to Mozambique to do some training for Brazilians, or for Mozambicans, and we were praying about them, and then a couple weeks later, I get a call from one of them saying, hey, the other guy can't go. I need somebody to go with me. Can you go? I says, yes. And Dorothy, right away, what did you say yes to? And so a year before we came back to the States, I was off to Mozambique for 2 weeks and seeing how God worked in a different place, in a different way, prepared me with Portuguese. Had to adjust to a little bit different accent, but it was there. And praise God for that time with them and seeing God open those doors. Back here in the U.S., Washington, Centralia, Portugal. And you, where's God leading you? Where are the open doors for you? He gives them to you every day. He gives them to all of us as He guides us. We have the same Holy Spirit living within us, using us. And that's His instrument of reaching a lost world. It begins right here in our lives. Not only was it an open door, but it was an effectual door. It was an opportunity, a ripe opportunity, clear at that right time that he had to stay there. As much as he wanted to go back to Corinth, he stayed in Ephesus. Why? There was an opportunity there. Triage is an interesting word. Some of you that are used to medical terms are aware of it. Accidents, you learn how to do a triage, and you have to do priorities. If there's a major disaster, who are you going to treat? What's the order? It's hard sometimes to find out when, where, how, to take advantage of those moments that God provides for you. My first really experience like this in triage was just after we moved to Campo Salles. I had to make a trip, spend several days in Fortaleza by myself, and got a bus directly over some bad dirt roads, some pavement. And the second driver, 4 o'clock in the morning, was driving, and I'm getting shifted back and forth in my seat. And fortunately, I just had that two seats by myself. And I said, he's going to turn this thing. No, he's going to go off the road. No, he's not. No, yes, he is. And so front wheel went off the side, pulled it, tried to bring it back on, ended up rolling down the hill and wheels up. Fortunately, there was a huge cactus there that stopped us from rolling further. My first reaction, find a way out. I'm safe. Okay, I can get out, go back, and see who else needs help. Fortunately, other than some bruises, that's all we had. We're up on top of the road, at the road, looking down at those four wheels facing us and our baggage next to us. And Brazilians have this way of just saying, graças a Deus, graças a Deus. Every other word, you know, thank God, thank God. And so I just said, well, you know, instead of just saying thank God, let's bow our heads and pray and thank God. So I, right there, bowed my head and prayed, thank God for caring for us and everything, and said amen, and opened my eyes and have 15 people staring right at me. And these are the words, o Senhor é crente, não é? You're a believer, aren't you? I says, yes. Por isso, that's why, graças a Deus, thank God. That moment, I had 15 tracks left in my pocket, one for each of them. I have no idea the decisions of those people. We'll know someday in glory. God knows the opportunity, buying that moment at that time, in the midst of that moment that God has provided for you. Mozambique persecutions in the 70s drove the people, the churches were closed, driven into the woods, into the backcountry. But what happened? The church grew. The biggest need in Mozambique at this time is trained leadership. There are pastors who have very little Bible knowledge leading flocks. There's a need, an opportunity. Portugal, regulations, or excuse me, I'm getting beyond myself. But anyway, there's all of these opportunities that are urgent. So how do we work in places like Ayuaba, São Domingos, Kixariu, training leaders? It was as we moved back to Juazeiro when the pastor leading that area, Moses, his wife left him, left the ministry. And so how are we going to replace there? I was able to talk to Pastor Josinaldo and had worked with him with Bible training centers, training him to use it. He was pastoring in Campos Sales, made the trip on his motorcycle once a week to Ayuaba and trained five men to lead. Among them were Alexandre, Justino, and Batista. Thank the Lord for each one of those men now leading in those places. Alexandre, the pastor in Ayuaba. Justino, he at the end of the class says, well, where are you going to go, Justino? How are you going to serve the Lord? Well, God's not calling me to be a pastor. Well, we had a Brazilian college, Bible college graduate that was in São Domingos or Kixariu, and he left. Just had a hard time adjusting to backcountry Brazil. And so I called him and I said, hey, can you go there and fill in next Sunday? He says, oh, yes, I can do that. And the next Sunday, and the next Sunday, it's been 15 years. The best pastor they've had. Praise God. The way he raises up men. Our missionary to Baja, Batista, was also one of those. I remember working with him, that little boy that I just found out, actually, that he was listening to me that night. But seeing him on his motorcycle delivering bread to different homes. But that was his evangelistic outreach. He evangelized those families wherever he was delivering bread. And then Sunday, he would make three or four trips on his motorcycle, taking three or four kids on his motorcycle back to church for Sunday school. And praise God for that effort and seeing his energy and his desire to take advantage of that moment, the urgency of the moment, serving the Lord. Today, Bible training centers expanded beyond Mozambique, Portugal, Wesley, another man we were able to train, working there in several cities and training pastors to train leaders there. And also another Brazilian missionary that I worked with, he's now working in Japan. And guess what? He's using Bible training centers to train leaders in Portuguese among Brazilians. Interesting. God's open doors, effectual ministry, making it work, putting a team together. But yet there's opposition, adversaries. Baptism of Mission's first missionary to Brazil was Guy McLean. He arrived there in 1934 and praying and looking for where God would have him serve and began to research, landed in São Paulo and made his way up to the northeast of Brazil, heard that it was very unevangelized, and heard about the city of Juazeiro do Norte, city that was really started by Padre Cicero, Father Cicero, and he had also led a revolution against the country of Brazil, very radical, and today there's a huge statue, the third largest statue of a living person in the world, standing there. people come to honor him. But he went there, and he was threatened. But the head of the police there came to him and says, "I'm putting a guard at the front door with a gun because I know you don't have one and you won't use one, but he's there to protect you as long as necessary." I don't know how long that lasted, but I know that God was watching over him and bringing him as they founded that first church. When we arrived in 1972, there were 3 churches in the southern part of that state. Today, there are over 30. Praise God for what he's doing. In the state of Ceará alone, there's over 90 churches. Many of them have congregations starting works, reaching out in spite of the difficulty. The priest in Kishariu, or actually he was the priest in Kamposalis as well, but that was part of his responsibility. I had no idea that this older priest, the previous priest, was a young man that I got to know and had interaction with, but the new priest, old guy, old school, and he was carrying on a Seventh-day Mass for somebody that passed in the city of Kishariu, 3:00 in the afternoon. You don't have services at 3:00 in the afternoon normally. And so I'm headed there by plane, and it was in a buzz the city to have somebody come down to pick me up at the airport. And half of the people in the church for Mass came out to see the Brazilian or the American missionary getting ready to land. And so over the loudspeaker that everybody in town could hear, you could hear that priest saying, "It's a bird, it's a plane. No, it's that buzzard, Pastor Bill." The name stuck. But you know, it's amazing how God will use even that to bring attention to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those moments, those opportunities to serve him. Praise God for that. Mozambique, as I mentioned, persecuted. Portugal, regulations. The U.S., we don't know. We don't know. But we're here for such a day as this. We have a citizenship that's not here. And we serve the living God and want to be served, be used of him. It's interesting to see the way that Paul sandwiched this between different verses. The end of chapter 15 ends this way. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that the work that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." And then verses following, those verses of his reason for staying in Ephesus, he says, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you be done in love." Serving the Lord, what a privilege, but we have to, all of us, stand up and buy up the moment to serve the Lord right here where we're at. Doors that the Lord has opened for effectual ministry, even in facing opposition. Praise God for the opportunity. I'd like you to take you to Brazil at this moment and just share with you a little bit about how we got packed into 2 weeks, all that transpired in this time. So we're coming up. That trip to Brazil, I'm still recovering. I'm back into this time zone and sleeping, but I noticed the difference in how the Lord is working in our lives and bringing my sleep and helping me get acclimated. In Brazil, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. When our daylight savings time goes off, it'll be 5 hours. So it's just a little bit south of the equator, 6 degrees. So the temperature is constant. In the interior and higher ground, it gets cool at night. Praise God for that. The elevation in Campos Sales is 1,800 feet. So Juazeiro is probably about 1,200 feet. But Ceará is the most, well, it's interesting because it's very hilly, broken. I say mountains in context of Washington State, you wouldn't think they're mountains. They're 3,000 feet is the highest one, plateaus and other hills. In the state of Ceará, have half of all man-made reservoirs in Brazil because of necessity, and when the rains come, they want to take advantage of that.
What's the climate?
The climate, it's, like I say, we're 6 degrees south of the equator, so it's constant by the coast, 80 degrees humidity, nice winds and breeze. As you move interior, an hour, and it's all of a sudden very dry, semi-arid. Some of you have heard about the Brazilian cowboys in northeast Brazil, the vaqueiros. I'll hear about this when I get home. But anyway, a unique hat. It has different types that are decorated in different ways, but you see the outfit in there and on our display. But unique cowboys that it sounds like somebody is telling a story, but they can't use a bolo or a lasso. And so they run down their animal, and when a cow or a bull is running, their tail comes up in the air. And so they grab the tail, pull it taut, and the secret is timing. When the animal's back end comes off the ground, they sweep them sideways, they roll, tumble, they jump off their horse, grab their front hoof, put it up over their horn, and they have one rope made out of horse hair, 3 foot long, and tie off their back legs, and then put on a mask and let them go. They can't see forward, but they can see sideways, so he can lead them back to where they want them. It's interesting to see that happen in one of their special rodeos where they do that. So is it going to happen or not?
What's the political environment today there?
The political environment to Brazil, sought to not deal with it a lot when I was there. Just to give you a little heads up, you'll see her in the last picture when it comes up here. First person I baptized in Brazil, she became a lawyer, married a lawyer, and guess who they support? But the present president. And so when we were in their home, that was last night. We didn't talk a lot about politics. They knew where I'm at. And our citizenship is in heaven. But yeah. So headed for Brazil from Portland, Oregon, getting to Fortaleza. And what a trip. 17 hours. And I managed 3 hours of sleep. Amy, none. We rented our car, headed off to the hotel, and tried to stay awake. And something that would help us staying awake was our second most favorite thing in Brazil. It's called food. And my mouth is watering right now. Is yours, Tim? Yeah? So, and then to help that go down is this nice, cool coconut, freshly picked. Something that most of you probably never heard of. Now I can't even think of the name in English. Sugar apples. They're tasty, full of seeds behind every one of those little things, but you just suck on them and spit them out, you know. But they're good. But sitting down, enjoying that, and meaning to get to bed at 9 o'clock and waking up on normal time, Brazil. And can imagine, that's our stewed chicken right there. And then the next day it's off to Quixadu, or to Cajazeiras, Ceará, and a congregation of our church in Aracachi, which is doing much better than the actual church 40 miles away. But praise God for Valdizio there pastoring that. He grew up in our church in Aracachi. And Maria, his wife, interesting story, she's from that congregation. She went off to Bible college, came back, and we asked her to serve, help us in ministry there in Aracachi during the next couple of years. Well, she's 4 years, almost 5 years older than Valdizio. And one day Valdizio says, you know, I am really liking Maria, I think I love her. And I said, well, you realize how much older she is than you? Well, that's no problem, because she loves me too. And they were married. They now serve there in that city and in that congregation. Praise God for that. They're in Aracachi, pastor there. The church that you could be praying for, especially in the need, it's facing difficult situation, the most difficult of any of ours today. Membership is down significantly, and working through maintaining their ability to serve the Lord. So be praying for them. And from there, you know, while we were there, we also met others that from there, from Daniel, who helped with our music, young people. The way God blessed us during those days, Evaldizio, Daniel, Moses, man that the Lord used to get us to Aracachi. We had not planned on spending any time with him because we couldn't get a hold of him. And finally, at the last minute, touched base with him and ended up spending 3 hours with him in a special restaurant that serves stewed chicken. And that was took out of our schedule, so we ended up heading to the other Cajazeiras in the state of Paraíba. And seven hours of driving. But before that, we had to refresh ourselves on the beach just a little bit. And then hitting those roads that were full of potholes at night, facing trucks coming our way who were also dodging all those potholes. But finally arriving in Cajazeiras and staying with the Ruli family, young couple that came down to Brazil, or he came down with a group from a supporting church, he and his brother and five others and their youth pastor. He and his brother ended up being missionaries. Daniel in Brazil, serving the Lord there, beginning a church plant in a city that we had prayed about but never gone to. Thank the Lord for that. But at that same time, he was there with Evaldizio, and he was also there with Agel, another young man that grew up in the church there in Aracachi, pastoring the church in Milagres. But what a day spending with these two couples and their families, kids that I was looking down to 8 years ago, and now they're looking down to me. But praise the Lord for seeing the way that God has blessed them. And then off to our camp, another 2.5 hours away, seeing how the Lord opened the door there. When Harold Reiner began that camp, he asked this question: how do we, Americans, build a camp for a people who, by our standards, are already camping out 360 days a year? And so we ended up building places for them, huts for them, with to hang 15 or 20 hammocks. And that's where they would sleep. And if you wanted to come to our house in Arakachi, we could either give you the guest room or we could hang you up on the wall in a hammock. But what a privilege to see that and how the Lord has blessed. Turning things over to Brazilians, nationalizing, is tricky sometimes. The secret is bringing it to people and having them own it. It's theirs, and they're using it for God's glory. And I thank the Lord for our camp there, the present directors and people who are in charge of it, Brazilians. Every weekend is booked at our camp. And yes, they do hang some hammocks outside. From there to Bahbalia, you may not know the name, but you're familiar with what it means, because that's where Junyu lives. And Junyu is the guy that Alinka that is doing the Volkswagen, the Kombi ministry, putting those together. He just finished up taking care of the problem they had with the suspension on this one to turn it over. But while we were there, I was able to bait him just a little bit and told him about the offering that Missions Committee had set aside of $2,000 here. And yeah, that's good. He said, well, the church really wanted to do a little bit more, so they took up an offering a couple Sundays before we left and try and make enough for the whole Kombi. And he says, you know, the sad part of the story is that they raised enough money for two. He says, what? And while I was there, going with him, back dirt roads, going and finding another Kombi that he had looked into, and actually coming to the place and being able to purchase that, and seeing that getting ready to be used as well. Praise God for that ongoing ministry, checking out the essentials, the engine, suspension, all of that. And then spending time with lifelong friends there in Brazil, Daryl Howarth and his wife arrived in Brazil a year before us. He's 4 years older than I am. He has no idea what retirement means. He is retired officially, but whatever that means, he doesn't know, and continues to work there, serving the Lord, church planting, involved in so many other things. But then also as Mozinho, student there at our Bible college, he's there from Mozambique, preparing to go back to Mozambique to serve there. Praise the Lord for that time together with them and seeing how the Lord, but also another couple from there, Jim and Julie Leonard, second generation missionaries that are actively serving the Lord with there. And then stopping by and seeing the president of our Bible college. Pray for that. Cariri Baptist Bible College. Next year, the enrollment is down for new enrollment is down, just 7 for next year, new ones coming in. So pray that there would be more, that there would be an interest, an opportunity for others to go. But then it's all on the way to Ayuwaba, and that's the reason for the hat. Doka, stop by there. This man is interesting. I'll try and get you out of here quickly here. But Doka, interesting man. He reminded me of the fact that when I knew him, he was pastoring in Fortaleza. And got to know him and found out that he was actually from the city of Antonina do Norte, which is halfway between Campo Salles and Ayuwaba. I would go through there. I would stop and get a Coke. I'd fill up the gas there, talk to people, pass out tracts, but never any results. I actually had a home meeting there one time. but found out that Dawkins was from that town, and I had challenged him to go back to that town. And 2 years ago, he moved back. He's beginning to work there. Praise God for what God is doing. And so we don't have the picture, unless Tim wants to take one from there, but I promised him I'd have a picture of me having this hat on here. You got it? Okay. And so having that time with DACA, what a privilege. You never know what you're going to meet on the road. And you learn to make do with what you have and make it work. Sometimes it's ways that we would never dream of here. But then on to Iowaba, old believers, and seeing how the Lord has blessed them. People are older than I am, and serving the Lord, wanting to be part of Him and seeing His work go on. What a privilege there with Alexandre, the pastor, visiting and going on from there, back roads. You notice the passengers in the back of the pickup? How often do you see that on I-5? But and then they think of the roads that they're going to be headed onto. This will only take you a couple seconds. It was 40 minutes for us headed to Baja, not having a meeting there in Iowaba that Saturday evening, but moving on to the Baja to hear Batista preach. I told him, I only need 10 minutes. The rest of the time is yours. I want to hear you preach. And the people need to hear you preach. And so what a thrill to be able to be part of that and be with them there in that city as the Lord is blessed with them. You can tell who the preacher is because he's got a tie on. That's Batista. And then on to São Domingos, Sunday morning, to serve there and see with the people there and see how the Lord has blessed there. That city has grown from 1,200 to 700 between work and persecution. The city has grown smaller. I say persecution, not necessarily against believers, but one of the gangs in the southern part of Brazil found out that that's where people they had run into down in São Paulo were now living, and made the trip a couple thousand miles to come up and murder them. And it caused people to leave there as well. But they're continued to serving the Lord, carrying on for Him, for His glory. What a privilege to be there with them. And then on to Campos Salles. You know, getting on those same old roads, but then all of a sudden the road changes to, wow, back to the future. You know, driving into Campos Salles on asphalt, what a privilege was that. And getting to our church there and meeting those people and seeing them again. That evening, I had managed to handle things emotionally up until that evening, and that was pretty hard. The three people singing there were in our young people's group when we were there. They put together a group of choruses that we sang at that time and sang them all for us. The taller of those young men was actually part of our church there in São Domingo, in Quixariú. We have several families from the church in Kamposalis now that are from there, living in Kamposalis, serving the Lord and continuing to grow in Him. The man playing the guitar is Paulinho, that we now call Pastor Antonio, grew up in that group, and now is back pastoring the church in Kamposalis. Praise God for what He's doing in our midst, and seeing how the Lord has blessed them and continues to grow them. And then on to Fortaleza, took a plane back, couldn't do those roads anymore, and sitting with friends in Fortaleza, kids that Amy grew up with, knowing and seeing them, turning over that car before we got on the plane that Junior loaned to us for those last trips. And then that evening, sitting in a home Bible study at Junior's home with their pastor, working together to serve the Lord. And then got to say goodbye to those coconuts. Something that you have probably never even thought about, the fruit that Amy is relishing there is actually the fruit of the cashew tree, fruit. The cashew nut grows off of the end of it, looks like a bell. And the nut is the donger, but the fruit is, it's unusual, but it's good, yeah. And then meeting Hockey at dinner. He made time for us. He's now the president of a federal university in Brazil. The day after meeting with him, he was being inaugurated into his second four-year term as president of that federal university. At his first inauguration was the previous president of Brazil, and the next day was going to be the present president of Brazil at that. He has used it to serve the Lord across the world, across Brazil and in other countries. Not only himself, but others that he works with in that opportunity. Using it, buying up the opportunity for the Lord. Sitting there with those friends of years and seeing the light continue to spread in Fortaleza. Saying goodbye, hard. But it was a special time to see and be with those people. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the way that You work in our lives, the way that You change lives, the way that You mold us and forever present with us, knowing that it is Your desire to use us to show Your glory. Lord, guide us and help us at this moment that we would learn to buy up the moments that You are giving to us even now, even today. In Jesus' name, amen.